This is Brother Hansen from Truth Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be with you today. We're going to get right into our study in the book of the Revelation, John's Revelation. And we are at the third chapter, if you'd like to follow along. The church and the letter to Philadelphia was quite interesting. And it says, basically, I know your works, and Jesus knows the works of everyone. Let's get that down. He's not ignorant concerning anybody's works. He knows the works. And you, I have left an open door before you, he says, which no one can close. Now, how God does this, we don't know exactly, but he does. You have limited strength, but yet you've kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I'll make those of the assembly or the synagogue, you know, just like the King James refers it to, a synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews and are not, but are lying. Behold, I'll make them come and fall prostrate at your feet. Now, that's quite a power that Jesus displays right now. I'll make these people come and fall prostrate at your feet. They will realize that I love you because you have kept my messages of endurance. I'll keep you safe in the time of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test the inhabitants. Now, this refers to the coming trials, tests, the things that are written about in the book of the Revelation that John saw coming. And it's going to test the whole world, of course. And I'm coming quickly. Now, what this means is, if he's coming quickly, when will it be? It's, hold fast to what you have so that no one can take your crown. In other words, don't be careless with anything I've given you. Don't be careless with the anointing of God. And don't be careless about what you learn. The victor, I'll make a pillar. I'll make him into a pillar of the temple of God. He will never leave again. On him I'll inscribe the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven, from my God as well as my new name. Whosoever has ears ought to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, the Holy One, in chapter 3 and verse 7, the Holy One, the true, holy, is a Jewish title or for God. And that's in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3. True is used in other apocalyptic writings, as well as here in the Revelation, not as the opposite of false. Instead, it has the same meaning as in Psalm 146, verse 6, where in the King James Version is called the One, which keepeth true forever. In the NAB, this is translated, who keeps faith forever. The same sense appears in English when we speak of someone being true to his word. Now, this is significant because it supports a key theme in Revelation. For John, this revelation is not merely his meditations on the future of the church in Asia Minor. It is a revelation given by God to Christ, which John is recording. Christ is the faithful witness, the one who keeps true, whose name is Amen. Chapter 3, verse 14, and whose word is totally reliable. Who holds the key of David? Isaiah prophesied about Eliakim. I will place the key of the house of David upon his shoulder. When he opens, no one shall shut. When he shuts, no one shall open. Isaiah 22 and verse 22. Now, this represents absolute authority, either to admit or to bar people at the throne room of the king. Jesus has absolute authority to admit or refuse people before God's throne. Relate this to the fact that Philadelphia was the door, the gateway of communication and commerce from Sardis to the eastern part of Asia Minor. Now, chapter 3 and verse 8, I have left an open door before you. This refers to the Philadelphians' strategic location for going into the interior of Asia Minor and establishing new churches. In 3 and verse 9, the assembly of Satan, synagogue of Satan, is what's used in the King James, who claim to be Jews, but are not. They claim to be Jews. In other words, they're liars. There's a lot of liars on this earth, and we must keep that into our log of reference. Now, the assembly of Satan, who claim to be Jews or not, I will make them come and fall prostrate at your feet. Compare this with Isaiah 60 and verse 14, in which the Lord's message is given to the Jews. The children of your oppressors shall come bowing low before you. All those who despised you, the Gentiles, shall fall prostrate at your feet. John reverses the message of Isaiah. Whereas the Jews expected that someday God would prove to the Gentiles that they, the Jews, are God's people, John says that instead God will prove to the Jews that the Christians are the true Israel. Because why? You ask why? Because there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. In the New Testament, in the new redemption, the blood, we're all one in the blood of Jesus Christ. And Christianity is the only way that anyone is going to make it into heaven. So Christians, regardless of whether they're Jews, Gentiles, whatever, are the true Israel. Keep in mind that both the Gospel of John and the Revelation were written by a group of Christians who had suffered much from the Jews. While it is understandable that they would have a desire to see the tables turned, that we must ask whether this should be our response to the Jews. Reading the Bible is like looking into a mirror. Sometimes we see Christ. We're seeing ourselves as we were meant to be, and we respond in thanksgiving and prayer. And other times we see ourselves as we truly are, and we respond with confession and repentance. Perhaps these verses about the Jews should be taken in this way, second way. Now, chapter 3 and verse 10, the time of trial is going to come to the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. Some refer to this as the Great Tribulation and include it in highly complex, carefully worked out schemes regarding the end of time. The word trial may be also translated ordeal. And the whole world here means the whole non-Christian world. We know this because John uses the expression the whole world in 11 verse 10, 12, 9, and 16, 14 of non-Christians. And nowhere does it use this expression to include Christians. The time of trial to which he is referring is the upcoming judgment which he believes the Roman Empire will be very soon face, will soon face. It will not be an ordeal for Christians, hopefully. Not because they will no longer be on earth as some say. I mean, but hopefully they'll not be on earth. They got my vote. But because they're not under God's judgment, let's hope that this is another. This is another screen. This is another way of looking at it. They're not under God's judgment. They're not under God's destruction. The ordeal of non-Christians is a triumph of Christians in Revelation. The Christians' ordeal in John's time is the persecution they are suffering at the hands of the Jews and the Romans. Now, in 3 and verse 11, the crown, which in 3:12, a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will never leave it again. This could refer to the fact that ancient Philadelphia was so plagued with earthquakes that many residents preferred living in villages and in the countryside. And God's temple Christians will stand solid as pillars, and they will not have to run away because of danger. On him I will inscribe the name of my God, the name of the city of my God. In ancient times, a person signed his name, not with a pen, but with a signet in wax or soft clay. When the Roman soldiers sealed the tomb of Jesus, they did not place the stone door over the entrance. It was already there. Rather, they sealed it with a ribbon and the procurator's wax seal, which it was unlawful to break. Notice how seal is used in John's gospel. Now, in verse chapter 3 and verse 33, who does accept his testimony certifies that God is trustworthy. Now, the footnote in the NRSV says for the word certifies, Greek, set a seal, a Roman seal. You've heard that mentioned before, a Roman seal. So that gives you an idea of what we're talking about, a Roman seal. Well, let's stop there and we'll try this. We'll take this up tomorrow. And there's more to come. So be sure to stay tuned. This book of the Revelation is quite interesting. I think you're going to enjoy it. So give us a call, or actually write to us at KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Go to our website, krciradio.com, and shoot us an email. Let us know you're listening, please. We need to know. And I know it costs 70 some odd cents for a stamp anymore. But boy, we would sure appreciate it if you could just shoot us an email, a letter, and let us know you're listening. Nobody takes a salary here, so there's nothing. You're not supporting every Tom, Dick, and Harry when you, if you do decide to help. So give us a call, or actually write to us and let us know you're listening. Till tomorrow's broadcast, Brother Hansen saying, study, show yourself approved.